بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد Alhamdulillah, tonight is the 14th of December in the year 2017. Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the third night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the venerable sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu. And I've reached the stage where I've mentioned that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu, he's using his blessed dwelling and as a hub of da'wah. And many of the great giants embraced Islam through his efforts, including six of the ten promised paradise. And then I mentioned that almost Khalid bin Walid's father had embraced Islam at his hands. But what exactly happened? In a Hakim, it is Mustadrak 2-507 states Sahih Zahabi, Sahih Bayhaqi in his Dalail Nubu'ah 2-198, Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir, volume 10, page 249-50, in their respective tafsirs. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, he relates. Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira once entered the dwelling of Abu Bakr ibn Abu Qahafa, radiyallahu anhu, and inquired about the Quran. When Abu Bakr, radiyallahu anhu, informed him about the Quran, Walid left and he went to the Quraysh and he said, "What a great thing this is that Ibn Abi Qabsha, i.e. the Holy Prophet, is saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it is not poetry, it is not witchcraft or the prattling of insanity. Verily his speech is indeed from the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Thus, when a group of Quraysh heard this, they gathered and they were worried. And they said, "By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Al-Walid converts to Islam, then all of the Quraysh will also convert." When Abu Jahl ibn Hisham heard this, he said, "By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not worry, I will deal with him for you." Thus Abu Jahl went to Al-Walid's dwelling and entered upon him. He said to Al-Walid, "Don't you see that your people are collecting charity for you?" Al-Walid replied, "Why is this? Don't I have more wealth and children than they do? So what is the need for their charity?" Abu Jahl answered, "They are saying this only because you went to Ibn Abu Qahafa's dwelling, radiyallahu, so that you could get some of his food." Al-Walid thereupon said in a fit of pride, "Is this what my tribe is saying? Never, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am not seeking to be close to Ibn Abi Qahafa, nor Umar, nor Ibn Abi Qabsha. Indeed, his speech is only inherited magic of old." Upon this, Allah the Almighty and Glorious revealed to His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 18 verses. Surah Al-Mudathir, Surah 74, verse 10 to 28. I'll mention the first and the last. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Dharni wa man khalaqtu wahida. Leave me with the one who I created alone. Until the last verse. La tubqi wa la tadhar. It spares not, nor does it leave, i.e. anything. SubhanAllah. So this is the full report. Is it authentic? Yes. Imam Hakim states Sahih, Zahabi Sahih, and many of the scholars mention it's authentic. So what's happened? Al-Walid ibn Mughira, it clearly mentions, whose dwelling did he enter? Abu Bakr's. Why? Because it was a place where people loved to be due to his generosity, his knowledge, and his being the great host. When he entered, he asked about the Quran. Look, interesting. Abu Bakr didn't start just throwing the Quran at him. He asked about the Quran. So when Abu Bakr doesn't mention what he recited, he mentioned something of the Quran to him. It profoundly affected him. Think about that, because they knew their language. When he left the dwelling of Abu Bakr radiallahu, he said, and it was absolute praise. He goes, what a great thing that, and he called the Prophet by a derogatory name, Ibn Abi Qabsha. He used to say that, they call him this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a great thing that Ibn Abi Qabsha is saying. He goes, I swear to God, it is not poetry, it is not witchcraft, or it's not the prattling of insanity. It is the very words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if I stop the report there, you're thinking he's embraced Islam. There you go, he was almost there. When the Quraysh heard about this, they knew what this meant. If he embraces Islam, he's one of the eminent chiefs. Because the whole of the Quraysh, imagine, their own words, the whole Quraysh is going to embrace Islam. But they didn't know what to do because he's the chief. So who did they turn to? Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl was the nephew of Al-Walid. Abu Jahl's father was Walid's brother. He goes, leave my uncle to me, I'll deal with him. What buttons did he press? He knew that he couldn't argue about the Quran. Look how interesting, he didn't argue over that because no point. He's convinced the Quran is from God. He worked on pride. Because he's full of pride. So I'll insult him basically. So what did he say when he entered Walid's dwelling? He says, oh, people are collecting charity for you. So imagine saying that to one of the chiefs. So he goes, why are they collecting charity for me? He goes, oh, because you entered Abu Bakr's dwelling and he's known to look after the poor and maybe you're going through some hard times and so we're collecting money for you. So what buttons was he pressing? Pride. And look what happened. Just the same day or maybe a day prior, he was saying absolutely is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His response was, he goes, is this what my tribe saying? I swear to God, I am not seeking to be with Abu Bakr, Umar, or the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he completely reversed his statement. His speech is only inherited magic of old. Question. Well, just a few hours earlier, maybe a day prior, you didn't say that. This was pride. And when he uttered those words, Allah the Almighty and Glorious was so furious. Imagine, 18 verses. If somebody goes, 18 verses have been revealed condemning somebody, you're thinking, one verse is enough, brother. 18 verses. It's which verses? Surah 74, verse 10 to 28. The reason I'm not going through the verses, because it'll become a tafsir class. But you can look at those verses. The first verse Allah Ta'ala mentions about Walid. He goes, leave me alone with whom I created alone. Now why does he start like this, subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because of his pride. Because he doesn't want to be with my beloved, Abu Bakr and Umar. Okay then, leave him. I'll deal with him. Then, look at the verses. Condemnation after condemnation. And at the end, it mentions he will go to the hell. It will not spare. Nor will it leave. So what was the cause of the destruction of Khalid bin Walid's father? Think about that. Alas, the Fir'aun of this ummah, Abu Jahl, does seal the fate of Khalid's father and doomed him to an eternity of humiliation. Think about that. You can't do anything worse to a person than to condemn him to hell forever. He did the worst thing any nephew could do to his uncle. Imagine. Could you do anything worse than that to your uncle? Condemn him to hell forever. Subhanallah, such was the accursed Fir'aun of this ummah, Abu Jahl, who ultimately led most of the Quraysh leaders to their destruction and eternal damnation, just like the Fir'aun himself, by sending them to their doom in the Battle of Badr. Thus, a most apt title for this most ignoble man. Now think about that. The Prophet called him the Fir'aun of this ummah. So a person goes, why did he call him the Fir'aun? Because if you look at the parallels, it's uncanny. What was the last action of Fir'aun? Destroy his people, take him towards the sea and drown. What did Abu Jahl do? Take his people to Badr to destroy them. Even though they wanted to pull back. But he goes, no, we're not pulling back. We're going to go, we're going to make many, we're going to make the people talk about this till the end of time. He destroyed them. But before that, he was destroying people prior to that. Imagine his own uncle destroyed him. So which people did he destroy? You know, you got a full list. One was Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. Who was Utbah ibn Rabi'ah? He was Abu Hudhayfa. Abu Hudhayfa's father. Abu Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu was one of the eminent ones. Utbah ibn Rabi'ah was a chief, one of the chiefs. He was from Banu Umayyah. And he almost embraced Islam as well. But Abu Jahl, what did he say to him? Utbah said, look, we don't need to fight Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can go back. Our caravan is safe, which I'll mention. Abu Jahl goes, no, we're not going back. He goes, the only reason you don't want to go on forward is because your son is with the Muslims. You don't want to draw swords with your son. So Utbah ibn Rabi'ah said, we'll see who's the coward. And what happened? In the opening duels, who went forward? Utbah. And he was killed in the opening duel by Hamza. So who sent him to his hell? Abu Jahl. Who else? There was another companion called Safwan. Safwan radiallahu. His father was Umayyah. Abu Jahl took him to hell as well. What happened? He's preparing for the battle of Badr, Abu Jahl. And Umayyah doesn't want to go. Because he heard that the Prophet said about him that he's going to be killed. So, this is in Bukhari. So, look how interesting. He hears the Prophet say he's going to be killed in battle. And he believes it. Now, if he didn't believe the Prophet was a prophet, he'd think, who's he to say that? I don't believe that. He didn't want to go. He said, I'm never going to go in any battle. So, what happened? The battle of Badr. Abu Jahl comes over to him with some perfume. You know those incense that you see in churches? He says, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm just putting some perfume on you because you're a woman. You like to stay with women, so I thought I'd give you a bit of perfume. And he goes, God damn you, right? He goes, you'll see whether I'm a woman. He gets his armor on. So his wife goes, haven't you forgot what Muhammad said about this? He goes, no, I'm just going to go for a little bit, then I'm going to pull back. He didn't pull back. He went straight to hell. Abu Jahl sent him to hell. So this Fir'aun, this title was so perfect for him, the Fir'aun of this Ummah. But he has an edge over Fir'aun. The edge was Abu Jahl was killed in the Battle of Badr. But when he was about to be killed by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abu Jahl, he was still defiant. Fir'aun started saying, now I believe, and it's too late. Abu Jahl says, oh shepherd, you've climbed a high ground. In other words, he's going to kill him. And he was killed. So even he was defiant to the very end. And that was his fate sealed. So he was the one who destroyed Khalid's father, imagine. His own nephew destroyed him. Astaghfirullah. Now just to mention one of the 18 verses. Surah 74 verse 17. So this is one of the verses that were revealed about his Al-Walid. In Imam Ahmad's Musnad Hakim Targhib and others, Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri radiallahu anhu recited verse 17 of Surah 74. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Sa'urhiquhu Sa'uda. Soon he will visit Mount Sa'uda. So this verse, one of the verses. Soon he will visit Mount Sa'uda. Abu Sa'id explained radiallahu anhu. Sa'uda is a mountain of fire that Al-Walid will be commanded to climb. When he places his hand on it, it will dissolve. But when he takes it off, it will go back to his previous state. When he places his foot on it, it will dissolve. But when he takes it off, it will go back to its previous state. He will ascend for 70 years. And he will descend also for 70 years. Astaghfirullah. This is one verse about him. Verse 17. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, soon he will visit Mount Sa'uda. So who's he? And what's Mount Sa'uda? He is Al-Walid. He goes, there's a punishment waiting for him. Those Al-Walid, one of the punishments mentioned in the Quran. Think about how is there any punishment of any unbeliever mentioned in the Quran? I can't think of any except this one. Why? Because he infuriated Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because he testified. And just because of pride, he completely reversed his statement. So Allah ta'ala said he's doomed. And what's interesting, if you look at the 18 or so verses, Allah ta'ala rebukes him 10 times, mentions 10 ill traits about him. Now what's interesting about that? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, whoever sends blessings upon me, Allah ta'ala blesses him 10 times. Famous hadith. Look how interesting. Al-Waleed did the opposite to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what did Allah the Almighty and Glorious do? Condemned him 10 times. Too much of a coincidence. And that also shows Allah ta'ala will not tolerate any disrespect to his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is all lessons you can take from these verses. Thus, Al-Waleed's fate was sealed. And just a few short years later, before the Messenger of Allah migrated to Medina, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this most unfortunate man passed away to eternal disgrace. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us from his wrath by his grace and mercy. Ameen. So when did he die? He died before the Prophet migrated. He passed away when the Prophet was still in Makkah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, just to add this, which is very interesting. Think about this. Khalid eventually embraced Islam. How many verses condemned his father? 18. And there's a very touching report in the books of Tariq. He approached one of the great companions. His name was Salim. Salim Mawla Abu Hudayfa radiyallahu anhu. And he asked him, he goes, "Oh Salim, because you are a great reciter of the Quran, I would like you to recite some verses to me." So Salim radiyallahu anhu said, "Of course." He goes, "Which verses would you like me to recite?" And guess which verses he chose? These verses. He goes, "Recite these verses." So Salim looked at him. He goes, "Oh Khalid," he goes, "the Quran is expansive. Why do you want me to recite these verses? You just recite it." So imagine. He's basically telling him, "Recite revelation which condemns my father to the fire. I want to hear it." So look at the unusual situation. Salim's now thinking, subhanAllah. So with his beautiful voice, he starts reciting these verses. And every time he goes through a verse, Khalid is getting moved. He actually repeats the verse, one report says. He's finding it very hard. And when he gets to the last verse, where Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, "La tubki wa la tadhar," it spares not, nor does it leave anything. He wept. And he was thinking about his father. So think about that. What a burden to carry. Right? On his blessed shoulders. Now why did he ask Salim to recite those verses? Because he wanted to make sure he's got Iman. He didn't want to hear those verses and then react negatively to them. For example, if somebody starts, you know, saying ill about your father, the natural reaction is to get angry. But he can't, because it's Quran. So he thought, "Let me just test the waters." And he asked, and he goes, "Alhamdulillah." But he felt pity for his father. So imagine, look at the burden he had to carry. And this is all mentioned in the books of Tariq. And this is why they were so great, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine those verses he had to keep hearing again and again. His own father condemned to hell. So what happened to him? How did he die? He definitely passed away before the Hijrah. His passing away is fascinating. So this narration is in Tabarani, Al-Haythimi in Majma' al-Zawaid, volume 7, page 47. He comments upon the chain of narrators. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 41-3 of the New English Translation. Bazar Abu Nu'im ibn Manda Kanzul Umal, volume 5, page 76, relates similar. Abdullah ibn Abbas, his cousin, radiyallahu anhu, he recited this verse. Surah Al-Hijr, Surah 15, verse 95. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Inna kafayna kal mustahzi'een. Verily, we are sufficient for you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, against those who ridicule. So the great Ibn Abbas recited this verse. Inna kafayna kal mustahzi'een. Verily, we are sufficient for you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, against those who ridicule. After reciting that verse, he explained, "This holy verse was revealed about Walid ibn Mughira." Aswad ibn Abd Ya'uth. Aswad ibn Mutalib Abu Zam'a. From the Asad ibn Abd Uzza tribe. Harith ibn Ayth al-Sahmi. And As ibn Wa'il Sahmi. No, worry about it. They're all kafirs. Right? But these five people, Ibn Abbas said, this verse was revealed about them. Who's one of the five? Khalid ibn Walid's father. Who's another one of the five? Amr ibn al-As's father. Then he said, Ibn Abbas, when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he complained of these people to him. They caused so much harm to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam that when Jibreel came to him alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam basically said some words, because they're troubling me, O Jibreel. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he pointed to Walid ibn Mughira, Khalid ibn Walid's father. Jibreel followed suit. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He pointed towards his radial archery. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam pointed to his radial archery. What is this? This is the major archery in the forearm, which supplies the arm and the hand with oxygenated blood from the lungs. So Jibreel pointed to Walid's forearm. The messenger of Allah thereupon looked and he said, aren't you going to do anything else? Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam replied, I have already taken care of him for you. That's enough. Then I'm summarizing the report. The same thing occurred with Harith ibn Aythar. But Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam pointed toward his belly. So the Prophet goes, is that all you're going to do? He said, it's done. Then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam pointed to As ibn Wa'il, his foot, the sole of his foot. Then he pointed to Aswad ibn Mutalib, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam pointed towards his eyes. Then Aswad ibn Abya'ut, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam pointed towards his head. You got the picture? Five people troubling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Jibreel is pointing to them, different parts of their body, because it's done. It then transpired that when Walid ibn Mughira was passing by a man from the Khuza'a tribe who was busy sharpening an arrow, the arrow happened to cut Walid's radial archery, which led to his death. So simply put, there was a person doing his bit with the arrowhead, and somehow or the other he slipped and it cut the radial archery of Walid, killed him. Couldn't stop the bleeding. As for Aswad ibn Mutalib, he became blind. While some say that he just became blind, others say he was once lying beneath a tree when he suddenly started calling out his sons in panic, will you not come to my rescue, because I have been destroyed? A thorn has been piercing my eye. They responded, we can't see anything. It was not long thereafter he became completely blind. As for Aswad ibn Abd Ya'uth, he was once on a journey when blisters erupted on his head, causing him to die an excruciating death. Harith ibn Aythal was afflicted with an over-secretion of yellow bile in his stomach, which caused his excreta to emerge from his mouth, which led to his death. And as for As ibn Wa'il, he was walking somewhere when a thorn of the shibliqa tree pierced the sole of his foot, causing it to swell and eventually leading to his death. SubhanAllah. So let's look at this. So this is recorded in the books of Hadith and the books of Tafsir and the books of Seerah. So what unusual way did these people meet their end? Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So a question goes to the mind, but Jibreel didn't take them out. He just pointed to them. This shows the unusual abilities he's got. Jibreel can take you out directly, or he can do something just by pointing. So basically he pointed to some body parts and he goes, he's done. So what's interesting about that? The person goes, how can you affect somebody without touching them? Well, we believe in something called the evil eye. The Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Ainul Haqq The eye is the truth. The eye can take a man to his grave and a camel to the cooking pot. Authentic hadith. The evil eye can kill you. But how does it work? There's no twitching involved. So obviously we believe that. Then isn't it also true that other things can be done without twitching? Right? So Jibreel has the ability. And all he just pointed to them. He wasn't even worthy of him getting him slapped. He just pointed to them. And everything he pointed to, shortly thereafter, that very point he pointed to was the cause of their deaths. But was relevant. Walid ibn Mughira. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam pointed to his forearm. So imagine, how would a person die from his forearm? There's an archery. The radial archery. If it is caught and you don't get immediate medical attention, you bleed to death. People slit their wrists. Same principle. Right? He died from that. So who took out Walid? Jibreel. Imagine. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Then the other one, the other three we don't need to know. Well, there's another one we need to be aware of. He was the father of Amr ibn al-As, the fox of the Arabs. As ibn Wail. He was taken out. How? The report says that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam pointed towards the sole of his foot. And what was the cause of his death? It was a mere thorn. Now think about that. The thorn was the one that caused the infection which caused the death. Was it the thorn? It was Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's why, note how again and again, it is the honorable archangel Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam who ultimately deals with the unbelievers throughout the history of humanity. Isn't that true? If somebody goes, who dealt with Sodom and Gomorrah? Jibreel. What did he do? He lifted them with one of his wings and Islam dunked them. Right? Who dealt with Firaun? Jibreel. Alayhi salatu wasalam. What did he do with him? Shook mud into his mouth. Who dealt, well, you get the picture. So a person goes, well, what did he do in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He dealt with the unbelieving chiefs. How did he deal with them? He just pointed to them. Imagine, didn't even get involved, just point to them. Good, it's done. But they're waiting for the Prophet to make his statement, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now let me just mention this. In Nasa'i Tirmidhi, Imam Ahmad's Musnad and others, and it's authentic. The Bani Israel, they once approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, "O Abu Qasim, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which of the angels alayhi salatu wasalam is your companion who comes to you? Because every prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is brought heavenly tidings by an angel. We want to know which angel comes to you." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasalam said, "Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam." They were in shock and they said, "He is the one who brings the command of war and fighting. He is our enemy. Why did you not name Mikael alayhi salatu wasalam, who brings rain, produce and mercy?" So let's stop the report. Why have they responded so negatively? We find that very strange. Why? Because we look to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Guess what? Shaitan's gone. And the Bani Israel in their history, they knew every time he's wiping our fathers out, he's just wiping them out. They were just so used to him wiping them out that when the Prophet said, "Jibreel is my companion," they went, "The one who comes with war and fighting. Beakuf is your, he's coming for." And they goes, "Why didn't Mikael? Why isn't he with you?" Then what happened? When they said that, Allah the Almighty and Glorious revealed two verses. Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah 2, verse 97-98. أَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِجِبْرِيلَ فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَهُدًى وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Say, whoever is an enemy to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, for he brings down the revelation to your heart by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a confirmation of what went before, guidance and glad tidings for those who believe. Man kana aduwwan lillahi wa malaikatihi wa rusulihi wa jibril wa miqad fa inna Allah aduwwan lil kafirin. Lo, whoever is an enemy to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his angels alayhi salatu wa salam, and the messengers to Jibreel and Mikael alayhi salatu wa salam, lo, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed an enemy to the unbelievers. Subhanallah. So what happened? When they made that blasphemous statement about Jibreel, why is he coming to you? The one who brings war and fighting. Did Allah ta'ala tolerate it? No. He revealed two verses. The first verse, he says, whoever is an enemy to Jibreel, then he explains some of his sacred tasks. He brings down revelation to the heart of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Confirmation of what went before, guidance and glad tidings for those who believe. He doesn't bring anything but goodness to those who believe. Then he says again, subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever is an enemy, now he mentions himself, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his angels, the messengers, then he mentions Jibreel again, Jibreel and Mikael, lo, Allah the Almighty is an enemy to all the unbelievers, meaning another kufr. They've uttered another unbelief. You find fault with Jibreel, that's kufr. Those, alhamdulillah, 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 we have been nurtured and having nothing but love and veneration for all the magnificent, noble and purified angels, alayhi salatu wasalam, especially those whom our Lord has chosen above others. Thus, in continuation, Allahu Akbar, it would say, it would be safe to say the opposite is true. Imagine being nurtured with hatred for Jibreel. What sort of a belief is that? And they said it to the Holy Prophet, imagine, which who comes to you? To say, ma, who comes to me? Who are you asking that question for? Because Jibreel. Look how they reacted. Normally think, mashallah, Jibreel. Where do we sign? They used it against him, imagine. As if Mikael's in a company, you know, they have a problem, the two angels. Jibreel doesn't like Mikael. They want you to believe that, imagine. Astaghfirullah. But what they said about Mikael was true. He does bring rain, produce and mercy. Who are the three archangels? Jibreel, Mikael and Israfil. The three greatest angels, messengers, alayhi salatu wa salam. They have a common theme between them. They all bring life. Jibreel brings the life-giving revelation. Mikael brings the life-giving rain and produce. Israfil blows the horn, brings life. So how can you not have anything but love for these noble angels? So note, the unbelief of these people is absolutely astounding. They didn't just kill the prophets. Kufr after kufr after kufr. Guess who joined that unholy alliance? The unbelieving Quraysh. Imagine, Jibreel had to deal with them. Take him out, just by pointing to them. So more shaitans needed to be taken out. So to wrap up, Allahu Akbar, it would be fair to say that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu had almost single-handedly managed to convert the entire Quraysh to the glorious deen, if not most, if it wasn't for the accursed Firaun of this Ummah, Abu Jahl. When you make that statement, a person goes, well, you're going a bit too far there, aren't you? No, I'm not. Abu Bakr almost, in the entire unbelieving Quraysh, they were going to become Muslims. Their own testification. Well, who stopped them? The Firaun, Abu Jahl. And that's why his name is mentioned prominently in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But let me ask you a question. When Khalid bin Walid realized that Abu Jahl, his first cousin, was the reason for the destruction of his father, it's a good job he wasn't alive. Imagine. Right? And this is again how strange, you know, cousins destroying cousins, uncles, nephews destroying uncles. Alhamdulillah, we're safe from that, most of us. But we should always bear that in mind when going through the life of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Something that we fail to highlight sometimes. We get this impression that they're all strangers. They're not strangers, they're family members who ended up on the battlefield. And note also Jibreel, he was there again for the believers, waiting for the prophets, like basically, give me the nod, I'll deal with them. And when he said those words, because the matter is done, subhanAllah. So all I mentioned today was basically the tragic end of Walid ibn Mughira, Khalid bin Walid's father. And he almost became Muslim, like I mentioned, Abu Jahl was the one who destroyed him, his nephew. And then I mentioned how he passed away, what was revealed due to him. and some of the lessons we can extract from that. And of course, the blessed angel Jibreel was the one who dealt with it, alayhi salatu wasalam. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa 'amilus salihat, wa wasbil haqq, wa sabr, sadaqallahu al-azim.